You're listening to The Takeaway.
Hello, you're listening to The Takeaway. Femi OK and Catherine Lanford taking care of you this morning. Catherine.
Hey, John Hockenberry's away. Now, as we all know, President Obama proposed sweeping changes to the regulation of the country's financial system. The powers of the Federal Reserve would grow under his plan. Hedge funds, similar private pools of money, would have to register with the SEC. There would even be a new Consumer Protection Agency. But does this actually address the root causes of the financial crisis? For another view, we're going to turn now to Eliot Spitzer. He, of course, is the former attorney general and former governor of the state of New York. You might recall, as attorney general, he sued companies like AIG for deception, fraud, and boosting the company's stock price. Thanks for joining us. Now, this plan is being hailed as a big reform, but is it the reform that we actually need?
Well, it is important and it is useful and it rationalizes many rules, but I think there is a fundamental misperception that it grants dramatic new powers to entities, and that had these entities, whether the Fed, the SEC, or any of the other welter of government agencies, had these powers in the past, somehow they could have avoided the crisis. The reality is they had all the power they needed to stop the crisis. They just didn't use the power.
Oh, no, hang on a minute. Where were those tools that people could have used? There's been a lot of reporting, for instance, on the Office of Thrift Supervision, saying that, in fact, they didn't have oversight over some of the areas, like with the credit security derivatives.
Actually, unfortunately, those reports are wrong. I mean, if you look at what, and again, I hate to point back to the office when I was attorney general a number of years ago, what we were able to do with a very simple fraud provision in a state law, we were able to delve into the fundamental financial workings of every one of these major companies, from AIG to the major banks to the hedge funds on occasion. All you needed was a simple anti-fraud provision in a statute, and the Fed, the SEC, the OCC had all the power they needed to look at these entities and to set credit ratios, capital ratios, liquidity requirements. They just didn't do it. Now, I don't say this as though somehow, therefore, we should be angry at these folks. New rules are fine. They're good. They rationalize. Creating a new Consumer Protection Agency is very nice. But again, it does not grant new powers. It merely takes little bits and pieces of authorization that are already there at these entities and puts them in one home. The question is, where was the Fed when it had the capacity and affirmatively decided not to regulate derivatives? Where was the Fed when it affirmatively looked at all the major banks and let them go to ratios of 25 to 1 in terms of their capital ratios? And so the question really should be, have we learned from the crisis? And if the answer is we've learned, and therefore the next time we begin to see a bubble and an escalation of capital, the ratios or an escalation of leverage akin to what we saw in the past couple of years, we'll react, that's good. But rearranging the deck chairs doesn't fundamentally alter the fact that the regulators had the power over the past few years.
Okay, you're asking the question, where was the Fed? What's your answer to that?
I think that they made an affirmative ideological choice not to intervene. And we have now read, and I remember when I read Alan Greenspan's autobiography, kind of being amazed, because here was somebody who was writing in these glowing terms about Ayn Rand and the notion of government should never intervene in the marketplace, and yet the Fed is the fundamental, most important regulator out there. It swamps the capacity of the SEC and the OCC, OTS, all the others. The Fed has the capacity to look at any entity on the street and say to them, you have too much debt, you have too much leverage, raise your capital ratios, you won't get access to the borrowing that we authorize. And this is the process by which it really regulates these entities. And they chose not to do so because the ideology of the last 30 years was, let the individuals who were selling the credit default swaps and all the other sophisticated instruments, let them figure it out on their own, because they will understand when they have too much debt.
Okay, rearranging the deck chairs. Tell me how the Spitzer plan would be more than rearranging the deck chairs.
Well, look, I'm not there. I haven't crafted a specific alternative plan, and I'm not going to pretend that I could or I would in 30 seconds on air. But I would tell you this: the one thing I would say is put people at the Fed, put people at the SEC who affirmatively want to regulate. Now, I'll give you one example. The OCC, an entity that probably only 1 in 1,000 of the listeners on the show has heard of or cares about, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, has the capacity to stop the predatory lending and the sale of those sophisticated instruments that actually brought down the banks. When my office and many other AG's offices around the nation started investigating the sale of the subprime loans, because we said these are bad loans, They're both discriminatory in the way they're being marketed. They are debt that we believe is going to be burdensome and probably not the people who borrow will not be in a position to pay it back, and who knows what that does to the financial structure. The OCC didn't come in and say, yes, this is an important issue, let's take a look at it. They went to court to stop us from investigating the issue. They said, you are preempted, you can't ask these questions. Preempted being the sort of technical, legal, jurisdictional argument that as a state entity, which I was the state attorney general, we could not ask questions of federally chartered banks. Now, this may not sound like a terribly important issue, but all the banks in the OCC went to court and they won. The case is now pending in the United States Supreme Court. But those are the very loans and debts that then metastasized into the products that were then guaranteed by the credit default swaps that exploded to bring down the banks.
Well, in fact, this leads to another question, which is the Obama plan doesn't really lean or rely on states to act, and yet you would argue that's where you were able to be most effective.
Well, look, I think states are – it's a whole separate discussion about the interplay between state enforcement and federal enforcement. I think state enforcement can play a very important backstop function. It certainly should not be viewed as being the front line line of defense for improprieties in the marketplace. But what we need is an OCC that actually understands its obligation to ask the hard questions. A Fed that says your leverage ratios over the last couple of years were simply out of whack. A Treasury Secretary, now let's hope that Tim understands this, and you know, in the past they haven't, that derivatives can explode in a way that will be fundamentally hazardous to the financial system. So again, it's not, the rules are good, they're fine. But everybody's now saying, aha, new oversight over the rating agencies. The rating agencies, of course, slapped AAA status on all of the securitized debt that had within it the subprime loans that, of course, were not going to be paid back.
Mr. Spitzer, this is Femi Okeh listening in to you talking to Catherine this morning. Thank you for being with us on The Takeaway. You have so much great information at your fingertips. You're so knowledgeable. How frustrating is it that you're not really in the mix right now and getting to put your expertise to work?
Oh, look, there are lots of people out there who know it much more deeply than I, and they are working down at Treasury and at the Fed to put this together. These are good folks. And look, there's a lot of knowledge out there, and I'm now pursuing different options, and so be it. That's the nature of life.
You know, according to a poll in the New York Times, only 21% of New York voters say they have a favorable view of Governor Patterson, and you're polling at 26%. Given that you're the one who left the office in some disgrace, well, what do you make of those numbers?
Look, I was in politics long enough to know that letting poll numbers guide one's self-image is a very dangerous and hazardous thing to do. Poll numbers go up and down. You can even see articles in today's paper that President Obama's numbers are beginning to slip in some areas. You know, when you make tough decisions, your numbers go down. And that is the nature of leadership. I think that I had a great time and was thrilled to serve for 8 years as Attorney General, a shorter period of time, obviously, as governor. And I look back at that fondly, and now move forward. You just don't look back wistfully or look forward and say, gee, I wish I were. It's not productive.
Speaking of looking forward, we've been asking everyone this takeaway question today, which is, what is the economic indicator that you look at to tell you what's going on with the economy? What's yours?
Well, I'm going to give you a very real-life New York day-to-day example of how I will know when the recession is over. When you can walk out into the street in the rain during rush hour and get a cab, we're in a very serious recession. And the moment that I can't get a cab anymore, I will begin to feel that the economy's picking up. Right now, you know, it's raining this morning. I have no doubt I could get 10 cabs in 30 seconds. That's a bad sign for the economy.
You must be in a different corner of New York than we are. All right. And then quickly, one last question. And that is looking ahead at this financial reform that the president has suggested, what part do you think is actually going to happen?
I think most of it will happen because Congress feels a remarkable obligation to do something. And the beauty of passing a new law, and the reason legislators like to pass new laws and presidents like to sign them, is that it creates the impression that you've done something, that you've addressed the problem. And yet, as I'm arguing, the new law will not fundamentally address the problem that led to this crisis, which was the failure of regulators to use existing power. So, yes, we will get a new law that will capture many of these ideas, and they're fine ideas. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just that they don't go to the heart of what led to the crisis in the first place.
All right. Elliot Spitzer, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Elliot Spitzer, former attorney general and, of course, former governor of the state of New York. You're listening to The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.